This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped on the ayah or the discussion of the verse, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. No soul will carry the burden or the blame or the sin of another individual or another soul. And we concluded on the verse from Surah Maryam, وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. All of us will come on the Day of Judgment as our own entity, our own selves, will stand there in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned the importance of instilling this belief within ourselves that we're responsible for our own actions, for our own repercussions of our life and what we carry out upon this dunya, that we will reap what we sow upon the face of this earth. وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Man will only have whatever he earned. سَعَى بِمَعْنَى, whatever they strive for. Whatever your efforts were upon this dunya will be granted for you even inside this dunya in general. سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الْأَرْضُ قَبْلَ السَّمَاءِ. The sunnah of Allah upon this earth, that he'll grant you certain things that you strive, that you want to achieve inside this dunya. وَأَنَّ سَعْيُهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. And you're striving, you will see it, you will visualize it inside this world, or the deeper meaning here inside al-akhirah, the actions you carried out. So this was the base of what we wanted to establish about responsibility for our own selves and total reliance on our own selves, meaning that we know that we are responsible for our own selves, our own actions. But we said on the Day of Judgment, اقرأ كتابك. Read your book. Read your record. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Sufficient is that you are a witness over your own self. That's what we said to us. Read your record, read your book. Describe your own book, narrate your own book, narrate your own actions. And this leads us on to that. If everything that we believe that we're responsible for, then likewise even the inner belief within ourselves of complaint, of complaining, of asking, that should be a core belief for a Muslim. Because some of us maybe externally we may display ourselves as Muslims, etc., that we find, but when certain calamities, trials, tribulations, afflictions, hardships, as we can visualize at the moment, how many people really have that deep inner meaning, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil? Sufficient is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the best protector. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in Him I place my trust, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this concept of complaining towards shakwa, towards people, that we find that total reliance in all of our affairs should be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because problems and difficulties are part of life. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. Allah mentioned we created the human being فِي كَبَدٍ. كَبَد بِمَعْنَى toil, turmoil, tribulations, difficulties, obstacles. One obstacle after another obstacle. Even the beginning of the birth of a child is wahnan ala wahan, as the Quran describes. Qurhun. Another place in the Quran, hardship, difficulty for a woman is to carry the child. So this is what ulama describe as kabad. Then when you come on the face of this earth as a baby, as a toddler, as a child, as an infant, and you grow to manhood, rujula, there's always obstacles in life, difficulties of life. That's the nature of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being upon this earth. The best of those individuals, and there's no contradiction inside the Quran, Allah mentions, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. We made the human being in the best structure. Meaning biologically, everything is unique about the human being. But the inner meaning of this verse, who becomes the best human being? Who becomes the elite human being, if we can use such words, is a person who knows how to channel their life. That becomes the best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they know that all these obstacles that we face inside our lives, they know how to channel these obstacles. All human beings are the same. It's made up of adam wal-uruq. It's made from veins and blood. So what makes one individual over another individual? Even the Quran mentions, فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You know, they strive and they struggle like you struggle You know, so sometimes we have this concept that maybe non-Muslims, they don't struggle as hard as we struggle, or they don't have that commitment. The Quran documents it. فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ They strive and struggle like you struggle. And they feel anguish and pain like you feel it. Then comes the distinction. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ What you aspire for is different from what they aspire for. You aspire for a greater reward inside Al-Akhirah. You don't aspire for reward inside this dunya. So whatever they strive and they struggle for, is for riyasa fi dunya, is for to be known inside this dunya, to gain some respect inside this world. But a believer strives for Al-Akhirah, makes those complaints only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we release these problems that we face inside our lives? You know, sometimes people make this cliche, this statement, you need to speak to someone, to complain to others, it lightens the burden. There could be some element of truth to that. If a person complains to their loved ones or people close to them and mention something, there's an element of truth. But a deep believer has a different perception. They're just like everything externally that I do in my life is committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then internally I want to have that same focus within myself. And that's why today's verse is going to speak about that total reliance of Ya'qub alayhi salam and Yusuf, whereby he mentioned Ya'qub, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I complain of my grief and my sorrow only to Allah. And even Ya'qub alayhi salam, as we come to, he did, as some of the ulama tafsir mentioned, he did complain or mention what was going on in his life. And as I said, that Allah rebuked him. Why are you speaking to people about what you're facing inside your life? And even Yusuf alayhi salam, whereby when he gave the interpretation of the dream to the two individuals entering the prison with him, then he said to one of them, Udhkurni inda rabbik. Make mention of me to your Lord, bima'na, to your master, to the king. Go back and make mention that this is Yusuf who's inside prison, innocently placed inside prison. And majority of the ulama tafsir, they mentioned that Allah rebuked Yusuf. That's why he stayed in prison for a longer period of time. Because why are you requesting this individual to go and raise your concern to the king or to the aziz, your plight? You should be asking only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even there's nothing wrong with him making that request, but it shows the deeper reliance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from these righteous, from these pious individuals, we should be following their path. So today's verse, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ from Surah Yusuf, the 12th chapter of Quran, verse 86. Surah Yusuf, a Meccan surah, 111 verses, beginning from the 12th juz, going into the 13th juz. 12 brothers that we find, 12 sections, 12 mashahid, 12 scenes or acts are placed inside this surah. That's why everything about this surah is unique, because it's the only surah inside the Quran that follows a chronological story from the beginning to the end. And that's why many ulama mentioned that if you're feeling grief and sorrow inside your life, read Surah Yusuf. Read this surah to see what is really grief and sorrow. What these prophets, what these messengers went through inside their life. Before that, Allah mentioned, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ تَفْتَهُ تَذْكُرُوا يُوسُفُ The verse before that, they said that the brothers of Yusuf said to their father, Ya'qub, you're going to continuously remember Yusuf. حَتَّى تَكُونَ حَرَدًا أَوْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْهَالِكِينَ Until you're going to continuously remember Yusuf until you become old and weak. Or you become halikin, death comes upon you. And then he made this statement, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I only complain my grief, my sorrow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned, يَا بَنِيَ اِذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا He said, oh my sons, go and fatahassasu bin Yusuf. Go and search for Yusuf. Wa akhihi. Wala tayasu min rawhillah. And don't despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu la yayasu min rawhillahi illa al-qawmul kafirun. No one despairs from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for the disbelieving individuals. So as for the reason of revelation of this verse, as some of the ulama have discussed. As for the whole surah, a large portion go to review. This was revealed in Aam al-Huzn. So when the Prophet ﷺ was going through grief and sorrow after the death of his of his wife Khadija, the death of his uncle Abu Talib, and other atrocities that he faced inside his life, that this surah was then sent down to show him that look what Yusuf alayhi salam went through. And likewise, other ulama said that this, specifically this verse, as Imam Tabari, he mentions and narrates, it was asked him that what is this, that your eyes have become, literally carries the meaning of your eyelids are drooping over your vision, over your eyes, your pupils, and you're leaning down in your back. What's made you become in such a state? In such a downtrodden state? قَالَ طُولُ الزَّمَانِ وَكَثْرَةُ الْأَحْزَانِ, a long period of time, and excessive sorrows and grief and worry and burden upon me. Ibn Kathir inside his tafsir, he mentions, فَأَمَّا بَصَرِي, why my eyes become drooped in this manner? فَبُكَى عَلَى يُوسَفْ, my weeping upon Yusuf. وَأَمَّا قَوْسُ ظَهْرِي, as for my back being bent and being in this elderly state, فَالْحُزْنُ عَلَى بِنْيَامِينَ. So first I had the sorrow of losing my son Yusuf, and then losing Binyamin. And then it's mentioned, Ibn Kathir mentions that it was said to Ya'qub alayhi salam, don't you feel shy? Why are you complaining to people? Why are you highlighting to people? You should be complaining only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you find that, as we mentioned, the whole this series of journey, looking at these verses, the impact of these verses, the ammulat al-imaniyya, the impact of these verses on our iman and our belief. Umar al-Khattab, Imam Bukhari inside his Sahih narrates, Bab al-Bukaw al-Imam fi salah, the chapter speaking about the Imam weeping inside the prayer. You know, Umar al-Khattab was a strong personality. You know, sometimes we think that maybe some of the companions, they were weak and such individuals. Umar was a strong personality. In a hadith, it mentioned that even if shaitan was to come in his path, he'd cross the road. Go across the other side. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani means, it doesn't mean that he's infallible. It just means that the Iman of Umar al-Khattab, he was a strong individual, strong personality that he was. But yet this strong personality, the narrator, he mentions that we could hear, submit to Nashij Umar. Wa ana fi al-khalf, khalf al-masjid. I could hear the Nasheej, ulama interpreted it, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, not mistaken, he mentioned, is that weeping like a child, sobbing like a child, that you can't breathe. You're weeping and you're sobbing at the same time. This Umar al-Khattab, he's at the front of the masjid, and the narrator says, I could hear he's weeping all the way at the back of the masjid, and he's reciting what verse? What is he reciting? إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I complain of my grief and my sorrow only to Allah. It overwhelms them. That's what the Quran does. The Quran overwhelms a person. That's the power of the Quran. You know, people ask, how do you change a human being? It's the Quran that will change a human being, because it's the words of Allah. It's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has an impact. But if some of our hearts have become كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَصْوَى, that's why Allah, one of the first parables in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah describes that some people's hearts have become hard as rock. But then the parable, it continues that some rocks, you find that water flows over them. Some rocks, you find water gushes out of them. And some rocks, they fear Allah. How can a rock fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because it's the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's ulama said, the parable is, don't let your hearts become hard as a rock. That's what you find that many times we mentioned, that the impact of sins on a person's heart, what happens? It blackens the heart, it deadens the heart, it weakens the heart. Just like the other haram things out there, they weaken the human being, they affect their body. Likewise, sins, they affect the body internally. A person could be pristine physically, externally, but their heart could be corrupt. Their heart could be corrupted. That's the importance of visualizing the heart. Ala inna fil jasadi mudgha. Indeed, the body is a piece of flesh. If that flesh is whole, wholesome, complete, purified, then the whole of your body is purified. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he pointed, ala hiya al-qalb. He pointed to his jasad, he pointed to his sadr, to his chest. He said, indeed, it's the heart. That's the thing that we need to focus upon inside our lives. That's why you find other ayat inside the Quran. which carried a similar meaning of complaining only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inside Surah Al-Anbiya, wa ayyuba idh nada rabbahu anni massani ad-dur wa anta arhamur rahimin. Ayyub alayhi salam, he said, oh my Lord, anni massani ad-dur. Even ulama of logha language speak massani. It just touched me. It didn't say I'm afflicted. I'm going through this hardship. He said some adversity has touched me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And you're the most merciful one. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ دُرٍ. We responded to him and we removed his calamity away from him. That's why Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st surah, read this surah as well, to see all of the way of the Anbiya, the prophets, the difficulties they went through. Then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Noon, Yunus alayhi salam, Sahibul Hoot, companion of the whale. إِذْ نَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Yunus alayhi salam called out in the realms of darknesses, the darknesses of the storm, the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the whale of the belly. Called out to Allah, أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. الْإِعْتِرَافِ بِالذَّنْبِ. Called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that darkness. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. We responded to him. We responded to his call. فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. We took him out, delivered him out of his hardship. Then look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions after that. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And likewise we'll rescue the believers. كُلُّ مَنْ دَعَى بِهَذِي الدُّعَى. Whoever calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this dua, with this supplication, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Whoever calls that dua will be responded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the tafsir al-muyassar, it mentions, فَهُوَ كَاشِفُ الدُّرِّ وَالْبَلَى. The one who unveils hardships, adversities, calamities, difficulties, is who? Is Allah. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْضَرَّ إِذَا دَعَهُ يَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Who's the one who takes away calamities and hardships and difficulties? Who is it? Only Allah. So that's why the creed of the believer is full within oneself in this soul of calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ يَعْقُوبُ. So Ya'qub made this dua. That's why ulama tafsir mentioned, look at these anbiya. Yusuf, Ibn Ya'qub, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Ibrahim. These four prophets. Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibn Khalilullah. These are four excellent prophets. Read through all of their lives. Look at the adversities they went through. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, being thrown in the fire, being repelled by his father, expelled from his land, then coming to his son, being told to be sacrificed, and he accepts the sacrifice. Then coming to Ya'qub, the sorrow and the hardship that he goes through. Then we find to Yusuf alayhi salam, what he goes through his life. Musa alayhi salam, we find rahimallah Musa qad udhiya bi akthari min hadha fa sabara. The Prophet alayhi salam mentioned about Musa that he went through so much inside his life, but he was patient. And then our own Prophet, the Prophet Muhammad, where we find he mentioned these verses right at the end of his conquering. As we mentioned, read the seerah, how he came into Mecca. He didn't come riding into Mecca showing his might and his power and his strength. He came into Mecca resting his blessed neck with the neck of the camel, with a riding beast. Total submission. And then he said to the people, Antum tulaqa, you're all free. I'm not going to take revenge against any of you. Just like we began with Aam al-Huzn, a year of grief and sorrow. He doesn't retaliate against these people. What does he say? He says the words of Yusuf alayhi salam, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, yaghfirullahu lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin. No reproach, no blame upon you today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that's going to forgive and to pardon you. And that's why you find that Ya'qub, for sabrun jameel, twice Allah mentions this concept of sabr inside this surah. Both times in relation to Ya'qub, first when he loses Yusuf, then secondly when he loses Binyamin. And even the whole surah, even Yusuf, they find numerous forms of formats of sabr are placed inside this surah. Inna man yattaqi wa yasbir, fa inna Allah la yudiru ajr al muhsinin. Whoever fears Allah has patience. Allah never lets the actions of the doers of good, the pious people, go to waste. And huna sabr anwa, there's various forms of sabr. There's sabr al qadari, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed upon you. You have to be patient about that, which exists inside this surah and what Yaqub went through. Then there's sabr al-ikhtiyari, sabr of making a choice to be patient. What was the choice of patience? It was Yusuf alayhi salam. The temptation of the wife of Aziz, full of lust and desires, and beautified herself. Qalat hay talak. She said, approached him, come. In another qira'ah that you find, Hi'talak, bima'na, I've prepared myself for you. And look at the words of Yusuf alayhi salam. It's a lesson to many of our youth. And we sometimes think the Quran is far away in its language and what it speaks about. Qala ma'adha Allah, I seek refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Straight away his devotion. And then when it mentions that he's from amongst our sincere servants, there's a repercussion inside the Quran again and again when Allah speaks about the message of the prophets, that they are righteous servants, they are good servants, they were muttaqeen, they were doers of good. Why does Allah mention that regarding all the prophets? Because we can't reach the level of the prophets in what they achieved. But Allah concludes their lessons that you can be amongst the muttaqeen, you can be amongst the muhsineen. That's why Yusuf alayhi salam, he was placed in an environment to teach us a lesson. You know, Islam isn't far away. It's a book that speaks of guidance far away. It speaks about things that we face on a daily basis. What young people face on a daily basis inside their lives. So it equips you. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equips the individual to overcome these challenges. So Ya'qub alayhi salam qala bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum amra fa sabrun jameel. Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. So the first time when they took Yusuf away from him, he said, for sabrun jameel, what a beautiful patience. This is something that you planned yourselves to take Yusuf away from me. Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. I seek only Allah's aid and assistance of what you're attributing and what you've done inside your lives. Then the second time, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Again, he said that this is taking away Benjamin. This is something you plotted, you planned in yourself. أَسَلَّهُ يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. But perhaps on asa, whenever Allah mentions asa regarding the Prophet, it doesn't mean perhaps. It means indeed. Allah will return all of them back to me. He's the all-knowing, the all-wise. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned these verses that we mentioned. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي. What is bathi? Imam Tabri mentions this, hammi wa hajati. My grief, my worry, my need is only to Allah. Imam Qurtubi mentions ashaddul huzn, severe sorrow, that I only complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Baghawi mentions that bath carries the meaning of exposing and yadharahu. As we began with, about speaking about your worries, speaking about your sorrow. So he saying that I'm not going to speak about it. Whatever I want to utter about my worry, I'm only going to make it, mention it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Imam Sa'd inside his tafsir, he mentions, مَا أَبُثُّ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ. What I spread from speech, what I make apparent from speech, I'm only going to make it directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Imam Tabri mentioned, لَا تَشْقِي مَرَضَقْ. Don't complain regarding your sickness. Don't complain regarding your calamity. And don't purify yourself. Complain, make sanctity for your own self. Is how Imam Tabri describes the meaning of this verse. And you find al-bathu itharatu shay is to spread something. When Allah mentions the creation of the male and the female in the beginning of Surah An-Nisa, that we find wa batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisaa. Allah spread from Adam alayhi salam and Hawa many males and females. That's what bath means, to spread. And Allah also describes Surah Al-Baqarah as well, to spread the across the earth, the rain to come across the earth, or the animals to spread across the earth that we find. In another tafsir, it mentions la yastatiu ikhfa hadha al-huzn. I'm not able to conceal this sorrow. I'm only going to make it mention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's mentioned that if the person is able to conceal their sorrow or the calamities that they face, that is known as huznan. وَإِذَا لَمْ يَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهِ قَتْمُهُ فَهَذَا بَثًا. Person can't control their sorrow, fails or mentions their sorrow, then this is bath, this is speaking about their sorrow towards people, towards humanity that we find. That's Ibn Kathir, he mentions, أَيْ هَمِّي وَأَنَا فِيهِ. I only complain إِلَى اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. I only complain only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that this sorrow was so much of Ya'qub, وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ فَهُوَ قَظِيمٌ. His eyes became white because of this sorrow. فَهُوَ قَظِيمٌ. Ulama said it means repressing his sorrow. He's holding his sorrow back. That's another place in the Quran when it speaks about the muhsinun, the doers of good people. That's why many of us, we're very fast to do certain external traits of these are good things to do. We don't focus on those inner things. Allah mentions وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. After Allah mentions doing the righteous and these are the good actions, Allah then mentions وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, those who repress their anger, who control their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and they pardon people. Just like we mentioned about the Prophet pardoning his people, then Allah concludes the ayah by mentioning وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Just as we began with, these are deep traits that we're far away from these traits. We can't control our anger. We can't control our sorrow. We can't control our worries. We can't pardon. We can't forgive. We can't overlook. Where are we from these traits? These are the traits and characteristics that we began with of rujula, of manhood, that we need to instill inside our lives. In the tafsir al-Miqbas and Ibn Abbas, it mentions a tafsir that's attributed to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He said that this shakwa, هذا shakwa هو العبادة, has been narrated, this shakwa isn't a complaint in all honesty. Because ulama here saying of linguistics and tafsir is saying it's not complaining, it's actually dua. He's calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-talab, he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say that ulama, they discuss that ibadah, it has an impact upon you. When you fast, it has an impact upon your body. When you pray, it has an impact upon your life, whatever it may be, the money to gain, whatever it may be, it has an impact upon you. To get up in the morning, to break your sleep, early morning at Fajr in the summer, in the evening to pray, there's an impact. So they highlight the reason why he lost his eyesight, because he was in all night in prayer weeping. He was in a state of ibadah that he's weeping so much that his eyesight became weak. His body became weak. And there's an evidence for this, because the Prophet والسلام, when his wife Aisha said to him, that why are you praying so much? In a hadith inside Bukhari, and his feet had swelled up. They were swollen. That was the impact of standing inside Salah. His feet were swollen. What did he mention? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Afala akunu abdan shakura. She said to him that your past, whatever judgments, whatever statements, whatever you've done inside your life, is all pardoned, forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at the response of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Afala akunu abdan shakura. Should I not become a grateful servant? You know, imagine one of us today, some format is told you're going to paradise. Most of us is going to walk away and that's it. And actually some of us, that's what some of us, we think about ourselves inside our lives. Some of us, we actually walk about with a chip on our shoulder that we think, I'm going to paradise, to hell with everybody else. You know, once again, look at the companions. Abu Bakr said that if there's one person that's left, who's not made it to paradise, then I think I'm that one person. That's Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who's the first person after the Prophet ﷺ and after the prophets who's going to go to paradise with the Prophet ﷺ. And he's worried. And look at our attitude inside our lives that we find. And as we find also that this, some of the Mufassirin speak about the reward. Even though there's some, these narrations are
not authentic in its essence, but we can depict the concept of how much reward that Yaqub went through, that Jibreel alayhi salam mentioned that he was given his ask when he entered into prison. When Yusuf was inside prison, and Yusuf alayhi salam recognized him. So he asked him about my father, what is the condition of my father? How is he? And he said that he's inside this condition, that he's worried and he's making dua and asking about you. So Yusuf says, what will his reward be? In some wording, he mentioned 17, other wording, he mentioned 100 shaheed, 100 martyrs, because the loss. You know, maybe some of us, we can bear the loss of a parent, but the loss of your own son. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is strange in the Quran. How? You know, Allah places strange tests upon Anbiya, Nuh, his own son. Yusuf now, Yaqub and Yusuf. So the sorrow of losing a parent or loved one is hard. But to lose your direct son and your living, it's unimaginable. But they overrode those ties. That's how they became great individuals, great personalities, great prophets. That you seek inspiration from them. And that was Yaqub alayhi salam. Lam yandur bihi bala'un. Or lam yanzil bihi bala'un. No calamity came upon Yaqub. Except for Yaqub. Ata husnu dhan billah. Except for Yaqub came with the best thought regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The conclusion part of the verse, it mentions, وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And I know regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you don't know. That's why, as we mentioned, that all these hardships that these prophets that they went through, they knew at the end there's going to be certain blessings which are granted to them that are not going to be granted to other individuals, or the inspiration that they had. That's why Imam Tabari mentions, going back to Ibn Abbas, that Yaqub, he knew, أَعْلَمْ أَنَّ رُؤْيَا يُوسُف صَادِقَ. He knew that the beginning of Surah Yusuf, as we mentioned, go back and read this Surah, the 12th Surah of the Quran, when Yusuf begins the story, that I've seen the sun and the moon, whether the sun is the mother or the moon is the mother, whatever, ulama have differed regarding, but the sun and moon means the two parents. And I've seen the 11 stars. Ra'ituhum li sajideen, prostrating down to me. So when he narrates the beginning of the story, he narrates it to Yaqub. Yaqub now knows that what is going to be the meaning of this dream later on, that he's going to unite with Yusuf. Even though all these hardships that Yusuf goes through inside his life, he's going to come back and meet. وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you don't know. And I know also, another tafsir mentions, that I know the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will unite me back again with my son Yusuf alayhi salam. And thus we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised these individuals, the prophets, that certain things will take place upon the face of this earth. That's why when Musa's mother was taken, Musa was taken away from his mother, and Allah mentioned, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّ رَادُّهُ إِلَيْكِ. Allah mentions, وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Once again, look at the context. She's given birth to Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun is there hunting all of them, the male children. And Allah says, place him inside the basket. What even today is called the Moses basket. Place him there and put him inside the river. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Don't fear, don't grieve. Then comes the encouragement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ رَادُّهُ إِلَيْكِ. We're going to return him back to you. We're going to bring Musa alayhi salam back to you. How did Musa alayhi salam come back? No woman was able to breastfeed him. He never drank the milk of any mother, any woman. And he came back to his own mother. Look at the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She didn't have to go out. She said to the Fir'aun, said that I can't leave, I've got other children inside the home. So they stipulated the time that Musa will come back to his own mother every single day and meet his mother. That's the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَرَدَدْنَهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّي كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا. We brought him back to his mother, that she may rejoice, her eyes may find that peace and that comfort of her son returning back to her. Likewise, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam mentioned, لَتَدْخُلَنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. When he saw this vision, this dream, that he's going to enter into Mecca. You're going to enter into Mecca in a state of peace. مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ. Either your heads are shaven or they're going to be cut short. لَا تَخَافُوا. No fear. The Prophet, he had a dream, he's going to come into Mecca. He's going to come there one day, he's going to return. Wa ru'yatul anbiya wahyun. Dreams of prophets are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's all the prophets that made this claim that wa a'lamu min Allah ma la ta'lamun. Nuh alayhi salam mentioned that. I know regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which you don't know. Shu'aib alayhi salam as well qala rabbi a'lamu bima ta'malun. I know what my Lord is going to do with you people. So in conclusion, we find that our grief and our sorrow, as we began with, there's no harm at times to express it, but a deeper concept of iman is to complain only to Allah, meaning make dua ila Allah. That's the lesson. That person go from here to there, complain to this person, that person, narrate to this person, narrate to that person. The amount we spend speaking to people, why can't we speak to Allah? Why can't we ask Allah? So this qala innama ashku bathi wa huzni. As we said, this is a format of dua. Oh Allah, I'm complaining only to you. My grief and my sorrow towards you, I'm complaining and asking you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, we find many of us not being content regarding our situation. We can see what's taking place in the world at the moment, and we still grovel, we still complain. It's so strange that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us all these signs around us. Look at these hardships that people are going through. What hardships are we going through? What difficulties are we going through? That we think we're going through some great turmoil and great tribulation and great hardships compared to what these people are going through at the moment that we're all visualizing. So we should be content about our situation, about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And greater reward requires greater patience, greater tests. So greater reward, that we expect a greater ending inside paradise, it requires greater patience. It requires greater calamities, greater hardships to overcome to gain the extra reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and grant us all the tawfiq to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in moments of solitude and secrecy and complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding our own state of affairs, our own heart, our own mind, our own actions, our own lack of obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a dua that is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the realms of darknesses, in solitude, and a person's on their own, to make that complaint, make that request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliver all of us from the gham and the ham, the huzn, the sorrow, the grief that exists in every single person's heart, whatever form of sorrow and grief it might be, to alleviate their sorrow and their grief and their hardship inside this dunya.